I'm going to try to share. When we had prayer this morning, it was for my brother. He is in Minneapolis waiting to have a mechanical heart plant. And he was scheduled Wednesday to have that done, but about 10 minutes before they come in to get him, they came, said that he had an infection in his blood. So they've rescheduled his surgery for Monday. And, and I know the infection is gone, that without a doubt. But then at the end when we were praying, Lisa was praying how unity in the family. And that just, my brother lost his wife about, 15 years ago from cancer, and he remarried. But the children didn't approve of the marriage. Wasn't wrong, and nothing wrong with the woman. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. It's just that they didn't, they wanted to keep their daddy all to themselves. But so they haven't had much contact with Dick. And they've had very bad relationships of arguing and what else that could go up. Anyway, the last time my brother had to go to Rochester, Lloyd and I went with him because none of the children would go with him. And this time I was getting ready to go again to Minneapolis to be with him and Maggie. And before I knew it, all four of his kids were going, and they're down there with him now. And that's what she prayed, that the unity of the family, because I think he's been, more or less his heart has been broken. And that's what makes it even harder for a healing to go into his heart of a broken heart. And that's been because of the disunity of his children. And that just blessed me when the word came forward of the unity coming into his family. That's awesome. I thank God.
Amen. That's good. That is good. So, all righty. Well, why don't you guys stand and shake hands with each other, and we'll come back in to get into God's word. So if you don't know who you're, or have you done that already? Can we do it again? Just because we can? Oh, you're probably tired of sitting anyway, huh? Why don't you take a stretch and just say hi and whatever. And maybe, maybe not. Well, if you're back at your seat, you can turn to Matthew 17 is where we're going to start off today. All righty. Well, turn to Matthew 17. We'll go there real quick. By the way, on Monday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we're going to meet at the Lakewood Park Bible Camp to pray for the Cross Uncensored meeting coming up in October. So if you'd like to come and pray and intercede and just believe that God will bring in whatever needs to be done, we want his will done, nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. We want everything that God wants. So if you want to join us up there, or if you want to join us or when you're at home, you're welcome to do that. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. Matthew 17, beginning with verse 14, it says, "When they came to the crowd, A man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. The disciples came to Jesus in a private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for your word. And I ask, Father, that your word will go forth into us. It'll accomplish what you have in mind, what you desire. And that as it does its work, Lord, I pray that it'll just cause us to continue to faithfully walk with you every day, knowing that what you say is way more important than what this old world says. So, Father, we look to your word today for wisdom, for guidance and direction, knowing that you will have your way, and we want to be a part of it. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. I want to talk to you about today just a little bit about nothing is impossible for God. As you look at this story, this man had, you know, you've all, those of you that have kids or maybe have had extended family who are sick or something's wrong with them, you know what it's like to hurt for them. You know what it's like when they're struggling, their difficulty, whatever it might be, you're experiencing, and it's just like, why is this happening, and why can't somebody do something? Well, this man brought his son to Jesus, and he had taken him to the disciples, which I find is very interesting. These are the men Jesus trained to walk with him. Now catch this. These are the men that were trained to walk with Jesus. He called them, said, "Follow me," and he trained to do what he was doing. Chapters before, we see that, bang, they came back and testified to how people were set free, delivered, and all this stuff. And here comes a situation that though they did what they thought needed to be done, it didn't work. I don't know about you, but I find that interesting. Why did it work before, and why wasn't it working this time with this man that had the demon-possessed boy? I don't know that there's a whole lot other than just the obvious. Whatever they did, which it doesn't tell us they did, it didn't work. But you know what I find interesting? Is that even though it didn't work, it didn't stop this man from coming to the one the disciples talked about. And they came and they brought this boy to Jesus, and Jesus responds in such a way that may give us an inkling of where the disciples were. He says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation." He's talking about his disciples. Obviously, he's talking about the world around him as well. But isn't it interesting? Jesus almost seems like he expresses a little bit of frustration. But the part, I don't want to focus on that part. I find it interesting that the disciples weren't able to do anything, but Jesus came and he says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. Can you imagine the dad that brought his boy to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you're my last chance. You're my last hope. I don't know where else to go, so I'm coming to you." And boy, isn't it true that when people get down and out and get down to the point where they don't have anything else to run to, they might consider going to Jesus. But it's interesting, I find also in this scenario is a scripture that tells us in James, I believe it's chapter 1, I might be wrong, but it's right, it's in James. He says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." Who's supposed to draw first? We are. That's because Jesus is a great gentleman. He loves to wait until people want him in their life before he does much. So as this man brought his son to Jesus, Jesus was able to minister to him. as the scripture teaches in the book of James, he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Now, let me tell you from the get-go, God loves to be with you. He loves the fact that you want to be with him. When we have times like we do this morning, where you just draw near to him and he in turn draw near to us, why? Because that's what he says in his word is going to happen. And we don't have an agenda like say, okay, God, I got 5 minutes. That's all you got. Wait a minute. When did we tell God how much time it takes for him to do what his business is? We need to learn to rest in his presence. In fact, that song, when Jennifer was talking about just hurting this morning and how God's presence ministered, this song says, in his presence there is comfort. In his presence there is peace. When we seek the Father's heart, we will find such blessed assurance. In your holy presence, Lord. It's in his presence. If we leave an atmosphere for God to dwell in his presence inside us, he doesn't want to live in buildings. He wants to live in me. He wants to live in you. And if we make room for the atmosphere of God's presence just to be there and to hover and to do what needs to be done, I think we'll stand back and be amazed at what God can do. He can bring healing. He can bring strength. He can bring all that we need. But it's in his presence. In his presence, there's those things that I pray that you and I get to the point where we realize that we must be in his presence. We must stay in his presence. We must allow his presence to minister. And so when this boy was brought into the presence of Jesus Christ, he was drawn to him and he says, my boy has a demon and it causes him to fall into the water and it causes him to fall into the fire. And he says, your disciples couldn't do anything. And Jesus immediately came out and did a miraculous thing at that moment and the boy was healed from that moment. And then, interestingly enough, in verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately. Notice they didn't do it publicly. I think that's unique. There's some things that you ask God privately, then there's some things that you do publicly with God. I don't know where the different, I don't know, everybody's situation is different. But I think it's interesting that the disciples didn't ask Jesus right in front of everybody, say, how come this didn't work for us, Jesus? No, they went to him privately and asked one question, and Jesus answered them. He replied, they said, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied in verse 20, because you have so little faith. Wow, what an indictment. One person came. Yeah, why the difference? Yeah. Interesting. I'll have to think on that one. I'll tell you privately. No. Oh, buddy. That's what I know. I just got to gather my bearings back. I lost completely where I was, but that's okay. Okay, so he says, why? Because you have so little faith is why they were in this indictment, why this situation. So were the disciples getting to a point in their Christian walk where they thought they could do it themselves? I don't know. I'm just throwing out. I don't know. It doesn't answer it. Let's just leave it at that. But the fact of the matter was is that they didn't have faith. So what they have faith in? Doesn't say. All other than the fact that it wasn't faith in Jesus that delivered this boy. So I don't know. I think that's a good warning to us to make sure that we have faith today in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about faith. Faith is believing what you cannot see. It's not something that you can go out and grab. It's just something you have to grab a hold of as belief and live it out. And I find it interesting that he says, nothing will be impossible for you if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. So does that tell you where their faith was? If all you need is a mustard seed of faith, and his disciples didn't have faith, what? Does that not strike you? These are his disciples. That may tell us that in our walk of life, we may come to a point in our life where we think, well, we can just do this because what's happened before and we've prayed before, so let's just pray. And they just went through the motions and didn't exercise faith. And so I think we have to remember that when we walk with God, he expects us, the only element that really is missing was faith in this whole scenario. And Jesus had faith. So the demon left. And he says, nothing will be impossible because if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. In other words, maybe you're facing a mountain today. Maybe there's a mountain in your life. Maybe your health is a mountain. Maybe your family is a mountain. Maybe your finances are a mountain. Maybe there's a demon that's a mountain today. Maybe your job or your kids are a mountain. Whatever it is, your mountain is not too big because a faith as small as a mustard seed can move that mountain. So don't give up. Don't quit. Keep walking. Just exercise faith in Christ, in his word, and you will see God's hand move in the circumstance. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, let's start reading verse 18. It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Isn't that interesting? His disciples lacked one thing. All of a sudden, the rich ruler lacked one thing. And sometimes I think there's things that we're missing. And if we would really go to him and draw near to him and talk to him, God will show us those one things that we're missing and watch what takes place. So he said, Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Isn't it interesting that the people that asked Jesus was equating richness, wealth, with making it to heaven? If this rich guy who's done all these commands can't make it, who can be saved then? I don't know about you, but I find that interesting. Why was that the mindset? That they could buy their way to heaven? That they were doing these things to get to heaven? I don't know. But he basically was saying is that there was one thing in the way. One thing needed to be removed. In the last chapter, scripture we looked at, faith was the one thing that was lacking. Here, there was something standing in the way, and it was his wealth. Now, by no means is God saying you should be poor. God obviously had rich people all throughout the Bible. He's not talking against riches. He's talking about letting them stand in the way, just like hatred can stand in the way, jealousy can stand in the way, busyness can stand in the way. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can stand in the way of what God wants done. So let me ask myself, and you have to ask yourself this question. Is there anything in my life that's standing in the way of what God wants to do next? Because if there is, he'll reveal it to me, and all I have to do is go do what he said. Here he said, go sell everything and give it to the poor, then come follow me. Get rid of that one thing that is causing you not to follow me. Get rid of it and allow yourself to begin to walk in a new way of living, a new way of life that follows me and says, this is who I serve. And so, interestingly enough, this man went away sad because, I would say because of the response, his wealth had him. He didn't have wealth. His wealth had him. It was so much in control of his life, even though he followed all the commands. He says, all these I've done since I was a boy. Isn't that interesting? So God wants to make sure that there's nothing standing in the way of our relationship with him. And here again, Jesus, when they asked him, well, then who then can be saved? He said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And he said, Peter replied to him, we have left all we had to follow you. And I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age as in the age to come, eternal life. So in other words, don't let anything stand in the way of what God wants to do. Completely sell out to God. Don't hold back anything, no matter what it is. It was interesting. I had the opportunity to help somebody not too long ago. And in the process of helping them, you could tell their desire for the things that they had around them was very important. The picture on the wall was very important. The table or the that was sitting in the living room was very important. This little hutch over here was very important. And it was almost like they were hanging on to that so much that God wasn't even in the picture. You know what I mean? We've all been there. Some of us have Snickers in our pocket that are way more important than God. We protect that way more, not looking at myself at all. But, I mean, the reality is it don't matter what it is. If it's in the way of God, it's in the way of God. And so it's one of those things that there's something that's standing in the way that's become more effective in our life than what God wants to be. So completely sell out, whatever it is that you have, it's probably not worth much when it comes to the next kingdom life. It might be usable for here if you use it for God, but if you're just going to keep it for yourself, you might as well get rid of it now or give it to someone that so it's not an obstacle to you. But don't do that just because I said that. I believe that you will hear God's voice clear enough that if something is in the way, all you have to do is respond to it and say, okay, Lord, I'll get rid of it. I'll let it go because I don't want to let that stop me. Last scripture verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 6. It is the faith chapter. We started off with not having enough faith, so now we need to know what faith will do for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Not casually, not part-time, earnestly. Desire him more than you ever have anything else in the world. Why is that? Because as I earnestly seek him, as I earnestly look for him, as I earnestly want to know who he is, guess what's going to happen? My faith is going to explode inside of me. Your faith is going to grow. Why? Because you're exercising your faith in Christ. You're exercising your faith and finding out what God wants for you. And if you exercise your faith, guess what's going to get stronger? Your faith. But if you never exercise your faith and you sit back and wait for God to do everything and you don't have to do anything, guess what? You're not going to get anything out of it. If you're only going to wait for me to share it on Sunday, you're going to wait a long time because I can't change you. I can't help you other than share the truth. Each of us has to go in and we have to earnestly seek him. There's a Bible verse in Deuteronomy that says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Every part of me. And here he says earnestly. So I have to diligently just look for him, seek for him, desire him more than anything else. And when I do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to exercise your faith. So if you never exercised, you're not going to get stronger. You're not going to, anytime I hear somebody going out and say, hey, I'm going to go run, I'm going to go walk, I say, would you run a mile for me? Why not? it'll benefit you that much more, I'm all for you. But you know, the reality is, unless I go do it, it's not going to benefit me. You can't go on your parents' faith. You can't go on your pastor's faith. You can't go on your neighbor's faith. You have to develop your faith. You have to walk and earnestly seek him. As you look at the scriptures and you see what God can do, let your faith explode inside of you. Say, if that can God can do then, what's he going to do now? I'm waiting for somebody to get up out of their wheelchair with no help at all, no coercion from anybody. They just got healed and, wow, I never could do this before. I'm waiting for broken arms to come to life. I'm waiting for the blind eyes to see and the deaf to hear. Why? Because that's what his word says. I'm waiting to see those things, and it's only going to happen as I exercise my faith. Because if I don't exercise my faith, I will never please God. God didn't ask for my brains. He asked for my faith. So I have to learn how to exercise what's inside of me, and that's that faith. That faith is going to be fed by his word. When I read his word, it builds faith in me. How in the world did the generation of Israel walk across on dry ground when the Red Sea was at flood stage? I can't wait for the Cheyenne River to do that. Why not? If God needs to do it, let him do it. I'm all for it. I mean, think about those things. I mean, I don't know about you, but some of the things that took place in the scriptures just caused me to go, wow, when are we going to see stuff like that, Lord? Yeah. And how's it going to come? When we have faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. God tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. So whatever it is that your mountain is today, whether it's your health or your family or your job, your finances, your kids, whatever it might be, learn to realize that God is bigger than your mountain. And it's interesting. Whatever you focus on is what becomes big in your mind. You ever notice that? If I focus on my problem, guess what? What's going to happen? I'm just going to see more and more of my problem. But if I focus on God, who holds the world in his hands, by the way. Get this picture. He holds the world in his hands, which tells you how much he can see at one time and how big and able he is able to do this work that he needs to do, because the Holy Spirit is able to go about and do and live inside of people. And guess what happens when the Holy Spirit lives in everybody? All of us can lay hands on the sick. All of you can raise the dead. All of you can cast out demons. All of you can do those things. Why? Because of who's in you, not because of who you are. That's what he meant his disciples to do. He sent them out, and they came back with reports of what was taking place. Guess what? I'm going to send you out today, not because of what I say, because I know who lives in you can go with you to do the work of the ministry. And you can reach people that I'll never touch. That's why the kingdom of God can grow so quickly. If you're waiting for me to talk to them, you're going to wait a long time, because I'm only one guy. But when you can talk to him and you can pray for him and you can see the miracles happen right before your eyes because you exercise faith, guess what's going to happen? The kingdom of God is going to grow. Now you got to realize, I've been waiting 26 years for all this to continue to happen. I've been longing for and desiring and seeing, and I see bits and pieces of it, but I want to see more. Why? Because God wants to see more. I want his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let that function and move like God wants. And when we want that, guess what's going to take place? More of God's going to touch the people around you. Tallnell will never be the same. McHenry will never be the same. Hamer will never be the same. Warwick will never be the same. Gray City will never be the same. Devil's Lake will never be the same. Why? Not because of us, but because of Jesus. That's the reality of why we're doing this. We're not here because we think we're something good. We know we're rotten to the core. Outside of salvation, we're sunk. But the reality is that we have to learn how to function in what God wants done. And the only way that's going to happen is when I give my life on a daily basis to him and say, Lord, what do you want to say through me today? What do you want to do through me today? How do you want to express yourself to the people around me through me today? That's what we need to pray. Because you're a representation of who God is to this world, whether we like it or not. If you didn't want that job, you should have never gotten saved. That's why I think we need to make sure that we present the cost of what it is to come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you gave up your right to do what you want. You gave up your right to say whatever you feel. And you gave up your physical, eternal right to do things your own way. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, remember, I was bought at a price. You are not your own. I am not my own anymore. I don't have my free will to do what I want anymore. Even though I do, because I've invited Jesus Christ into my life, I have to surrender that. I get to surrender to that and let the work of God be done in me and through me so that I can touch the world around me. And you can do the same. And pretty soon you got all these people touching everybody around you. And guess what's going to happen? More people are going to come to Christ. More people are going to come to Christ. Don't you got, you, how many got family and neighbors you want saved? It's going to come through you. If we were going to wait for them to come to church, we're going to wait a long time. They're not here today. How come? Because they have no desire for God. They got desires for themselves. They got desires for everything else but God. And they need to come and hear the good news of the gospel so that they can receive the good news of the gospel in them. And then you begin to instill within them the doctrine of God's word, which teaches them how to live. That's why God wants you and I to work at this together. We're all in this as a team. We got the same Lord and Master, and he wants to do a great work in us and through us. And so I pray that you enjoy. I used to dread witnessing. I love it now. I can't wait. I can't wait. Why? Because I know I've got something in me they need. I know that there's a powerful God that's inside of me that wants to come out, because when God says, say this, Jeff, I go, okay. You sure you want me to say that? Are you sure you want me to do that? And he says, yeah. Why? Because that's how you reach people. That's how you touch their lives. When God says speak, you speak. When God says move, you move. When God says do this, you do this. Otherwise, you're nothing more than a rebellious kid. I ain't going to do that. Why not? I don't feel like it. They might make fun of me. Well, who's more important, them or God? I have to come to that conclusion in my own walk. Bottom line, I have to come to that conclusion in my own walk. I'm not more concerned about what you think as I'm more concerned about what he thinks. Because I'm going to answer to him ultimately. And you will too. So we have to decide. I decided that, and since then it's been way easier. Way easier. Do I miss it now and then? Yeah, I do. But I don't let that stop me from doing what God wants me to do. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you today that nothing is impossible for you. Thank you that you're a God of the impossible. And that whatever we're facing this day, Lord, I thank you that there's potential for that mountain, those things that stand in our way, to be completely removed today because of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that there is a significant move of mountains today. Whether it's our kids, our job, our finances, our health, no matter what it is, I pray that those mountains will be moved because we had faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that faith will rise inside of us and grow inside of us. That when we go about our day, we will continue to help people understand who you are more and more because we're sharing about you, Lord. And so, Lord, what a privilege it is to be called a disciple. What a privilege it is to be called a friend of God. And Lord, I pray that as we walk out these doors today, the world will know who you are, because the body of Christ will truly reflect the qualities and the characteristics and the truths of your word to the world. And Lord, you said your word would not return void. So we're not sharing our own word, we're sharing your word. And we know it won't return void. So we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you give us. Lord, it's, if there are those that just feeling weak in their faith today, Lord, I pray that it's strengthened by your word. It is strengthened by your word, Lord. And that they'll walk in faith and victory. And so, Father, I thank you for each one that's here. We pray that they'll just continue to draw near to you. And as they do that, they'll get stronger. So we love you and thank you, Lord God, for that. And we just give you all the praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. If anybody wants prayer, please come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, I'm sure there's coffee and fellowship around. So go ahead and feel free to be a blessing to each other. And God bless you as you seek the Lord earnestly.